Now let's turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. I read in the book of 1 Kings of the Queen of Sheba's visit to Solomon. And after she had looked at his wisdom and his wealth and his glory and all the treasures of Solomon, this is what she said: "There's no more spirit left in me. I heard of your glory, but I did not believe it, until I came and mine eyes had seen thy wisdom and thy wealth and thy glory. And behold, the half has not been told." Now, when I look at a verse such as the one that is before me tonight, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell," and when I start thinking of all wisdom, not just the limited wisdom of Solomon, I'm talking about all wisdom. When I think about glory, all glory, not the glory of the kingdom of Israel, but the glory of the kingdom of God. When I start thinking about reconciliation and righteousness and redemption, and all the fullness of God, His mercy, His righteousness, His holiness, and all that fullness dwelling in Christ, I can say with the Queen of Sheba, "There is no spirit left in me. There is no strength, and I tremble." And I'd like to engage someone else to speak of this fullness. Someone who could give Him the glory that He is due and of which He is worthy. Someone who can praise His name as He ought to be praised. Oh Lord, I think, how can my ignorant mind and my faltering lips or my deceitful heart imagine, let alone speak of the glory, the fullness of that glory which dwelleth in Jesus Christ? Job said, "It's higher than the heavens. What can I do?" He says, "It's deeper than hell. What can I know?" He said, "It's longer than the earth and broader than the sea. How can I, by searching, find God?" But someone's got to speak. The sons of men must hear. Our God says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" And even the child Samuel answered, "Here am I, send me." So tonight we're going to look at this text, limited as we are, frail as we are, filled with inability as we are. We're going to look at it anyway and ask God's Spirit to do what we can't do, accomplish what we can't accomplish. Let men see a little of the glory of God that dwells in Christ Jesus. First of all, we're going to ask this question: what are we talking about when we say all fullness? And then secondly, we're going to answer this question, if God will help us: where does it dwell? And the third question with which we'll deal is this: why does it dwell there? And then fourthly, when is this fullness in Christ? Now, the first question is this: what is spoken of? It says, "It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness." Thank God for these two words. My heart rejoices that there's such a thing in this universe, in this world of ours, as all fullness. Everything I see is emptiness. Everything that I hear has a ring of vanity and emptiness. Everything that I think is vanity. Everything that I say is filled with sin and vanity. Solomon said, after considering it all, and I suppose that he considered it more fully than any man, after considering it all, everything concerned or connected with the flesh, he came up with this, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the Apostle Paul drew this conclusion, in my flesh dwelleth no good. Absolutely no good. So summing up all flesh and everything that this life has to offer, all the senses, hearing, smelling, feeling, seeing, all things in this world are emptiness and bitterness and vanity and death. But it says here, Christ is all fullness. All fullness. Fullness, not foretaste. Fullness, not shadow. Fullness, not types. Now, types may instruct. That's what the early Jews had. They had types to instruct them. They had patterns to teach them. They had ceremonies to reveal things to them. But Christ Jesus is the heavenly things themselves. No outward forms can make me clean. I don't know why men cling to these things today. They didn't serve the Jews too well. I don't know why we put our trust in the waters of baptism. The waters outside the tabernacle didn't help the priest much, nor keep him clean. I don't know why we put our trust in the wafer and in the wine when all of the sacrifices offered on Jewish altars couldn't put away sin. No outward forms can make me clean. The leprosy lies deep within. How can these things that cleanse my flesh touch my heart? How can these things applied to my flesh do any good for my soul? No outward forms can make me clean. Don't give them to me, for the leprosy lies deep within. I want not foretaste. I want fullness. I want not shadow. I want substance. I want not things that tell me about God. I want God. He is our sacrifice. He is our altar. He is our priest. He is our atonement. He is our mercy seat. He is our tabernacle. And He is all fullness. A little help won't do me any good. It's not a little help that I need. A little mercy will only mock me. A little grace will leave me lost. A little wisdom will only confuse me. I need all things. And all fullness dwells in Him. In Him it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness. And all fullness dwells in Him because of who He is. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He is the eternal Creator. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. All fullness dwells in Him, not only because of who He is, but because He purchased the right with His own blood. Not only in creation does He have the right to contain all fullness, not only in providential purposes, but in salvation, because of His sacrifice, He purchased that right. He died that He might be Lord. When they came to Pharaoh, during the famine, and the storehouses of Egypt had been filled, they said, Pharaoh, give us corn and wheat. And he said, go to Joseph. Joseph filled the storehouses. Therefore, the storehouses are in Joseph's hands. He giveth it to whom he will. And all fullness dwells in Christ because of who he is and because he purchased that right. He filled the storehouses, and they are in His hands to distribute as He will. All fullness toward God. For he honored the law and satisfied justice, all fullness toward the sinner. Sinner, what do you need? Well, I need all things. Well, Christ is all. Christ is all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption. He of God is made unto us all these things. I want all things, and Christ is all. Well, I want repentance. Well, the Scripture says he's exalted to give repentance and the forgiveness of sin. Well, I want a new heart. He said, a new heart will I give thee. I'll take that old stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give thee a new heart. Well, I want pardon. He says, I will remember thy sins no more. Well, I want life. Well, the Son quickeneth whom he will. In him is life. I want preservation. He says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, I want resurrection. Because I live, you shall live. These words shut out all other men and all other creatures and all other ways. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness, all of the love, all of the grace, all of the mercy, all of the wisdom, all of the glory, all of the beauty, and all of the power of God Almighty. For he said, all authority, not some authority, not a measure of authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. I have all power over all flesh. Christ never speaks of anything given to him by the Father in portion. It's always complete. All fullness. Thou, O Christ, art all I want. More than all in thee I find. There's nothing that the law can demand that he cannot produce. There's nothing that justice and judgment can require that he cannot satisfy. There's nothing that a sinner can need that Christ cannot fulfill. For in him dwelleth all fullness. And the longer you live, the more you see the need thereof. Everything you put your hand on in this life, you cling to it for a little while, and then you look and it's gone. This life is nothing but emptiness and bitterness and failure. In Christ dwelleth all fullness. All fullness. Now, secondly, where is this fullness? Well, the Scripture says here, in him. In him. Where else could it dwell? Where else would you find all wisdom but in Christ? Not in an angel, not in a man, not in a demon. Where else would you find all righteousness and holiness except in Christ? Where else would you find all redemption, all glory, all love, all mercy and all truth? For all fullness requires a vast capacity to contain. Who could contain all fullness? Huh? He who is the Father of light can contain it. He who made the universe and in whom the universe dwelleth can contain it. He who measured the seas and the oceans, he who calleth the stars by name, can contain all fullness. And all fullness not only requires a vast capacity. Only God can contain all fullness. Because all things are in God. And then all fullness requires something else. It requires not only a vast, infinite capacity, but it requires immutability. Now, if any kind of fullness, not all fullness, but just any kind of fullness, were put in you or me, we'd prove to be what? Broken cisterns that hold no water. Because we change. A little riches can change us. A little poverty can change us. A little sickness can change us. A little disappointment can change us. Fullness can only be trusted to one who cannot change. That's the reason we put no confidence in the flesh. The flesh cannot be confided in. It cannot be trusted because it changes. It changes. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. All fullness requires not only an infinite capacity, it requires immutability. Even the angels cannot contain it because they change. And then all fullness. Watch this. When we talk about all fullness, this is the only place God can invest it, is in Christ. The church, no. The church changes. It changes its message even. But all fullness can find a dwelling place in Christ because He is of infinite capacity and He is immutable, unchanging. And then He's the only one who has the wisdom to distribute it. The Jews wouldn't give it to the Gentiles. They can't be trusted with it. The white man wouldn't give it to the black man. He can't be trusted with it. And the black man wouldn't give it to the white man. And the old wouldn't give it to the young. And the young wouldn't give it to the old. And the Catholic wouldn't give it to the Baptist. And the Baptist wouldn't give it to the Methodist. It takes infinite wisdom to distribute holiness. It takes infinite wisdom to distribute grace. God will give grace only where grace is appreciated. Fine. God will give mercy only where He can get the glory. God's going to save all whom He can wisely save. God's going to bless all whom He can wisely bless. He has the wisdom to distribute this grace. It dwelleth in Christ because of His vast capacity to contain it. It dwelleth in Christ because His unchangeable nature will not violate it. And all fullness dwelleth in Christ because of His wisdom. I have all authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. All fullness dwelleth in Him officially. It's by divine decree. All fullness dwelleth in Him personally. Someone said, in Him, His power to save lies in His person. His power to save lies in His person. In His person. Not just in His words. Not just in His deeds. Death on the cross will not save. It's got to be Christ's death on the cross. I said last week, God as God can save nobody. Nobody. But God as man can save somebody. Man as man can save nobody. But man who is divine can save. His power to save lies in His person. In His person. Somebody said, I'm trusting the finished work of Christ. Be careful. Be careful. The finished work of Christ has got to have Christ associated with it. Don't you go to hell trusting His work. Don't go to hell trusting His work. Go to heaven trusting Him. There's a difference. I know what I'm talking about. You may not think I do, but I do. His power to save is in His person. In His person. That's the reason He could save people by His death on the cross before He even died. That's the reason people could be saved in the Old Testament who didn't even know anything about a cross. They were saved by a person who would go to a cross. You see what I'm saying? That's the reason Abraham saw my day, Christ said, and was glad. He was trusting a person. And all that that person is, and all that that person does, and all that that person by grace will do. A person. His power to save is in His person. All fullness dwelleth in Him officially. All fullness dwelleth in Him personally. And thank God, all fullness dwelleth in Him graciously. Graciously. Why should you be afraid to come and tell Him all your case?
He will not pronounce your doom. He will not frown upon your face. Will you dread Emmanuel? Will you dread the Lamb of God who, to save your soul from hell, shed His precious blood? All fullness dwelleth in Him graciously. He delights to show mercy. He delights to show mercy. He delights in it. He freely forgiveth. And then the third question quickly, why is all fullness in Christ? It says here, it pleased the Father. That's answer enough for me. It pleased the Father. Why does all fullness dwell in Christ? Well, the only answer given is it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. He is all wise. Let Him do what He will. He is sovereign. Shall I question Him? Ask the reason for the fall. You'll get the same answer. Please the Father. You ask the reason for election and the answer comes back. It pleased the Father. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I thank Thee, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and Thou hast revealed them unto babes. For even so, Father, it seemed good in Thy sight. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell, and that one answer will give you the reply to 10,000 questions that you might have. And I say the believer says what pleases God pleases me. Now that's the way God, that's the position to which God brings a believer. If it pleases God, it pleases me. And that's sufficient for a believer. I got a letter from a lady down in Paintsville, Kentucky, who watched the television program a few weeks ago. A few weeks ago, I preached a sermon on the television program entitled, Why Men Come to Christ. And I pointed out that men come to Christ because they were given to Him by the Father. I pointed out that men come to Christ because they're drawn to Him by the Father. And thirdly, I pointed out that men come to Christ because they're taught by the Father. And she wrote and sent a check to support the television ministry, a check for $100. And she said in the letter, I don't understand election, but I guess it's all right. It's in the Bible. And I guess it is, don't you? Now that's a good attitude. I don't understand it, but I guess it's all right. Since it's in God's Word. And when you ask me the question, why does all fullness dwell in Christ? And my answer comes back, a sufficient answer for the believer, it pleased the Father. You ask me why God saved me and passed by somebody else, I'll give you the answer He gave Himself. It pleased God to make you His people. Why did Jesus Christ go to the cross and suffer such a terrible death? It pleased God to bruise Him. Why did Saul of Tarsus go along for 40 years before he ever knew the gospel? It pleased God to reveal His Son to Saul. When it pleased God. That's what the Scripture said. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, to reveal His grace in me. But justice speaks and gives us an answer. Justice says this. Justice says none but Christ could meet my demands. That's why all fullness dwells in Him, because none but Christ can meet justice demand. And then the law comes forth, and the law says, I'll tell you why all fullness dwells in Him, because the law must be honored, and only Christ could honor the law. And then mercy speaks, and mercy says, only Christ can bring God's mercy to sinners. Only Christ can magnify God's attribute of mercy. And the glory of God steps forth and says, only Christ can contain the glory of Almighty God. Now, last of all, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. When is all fullness in Christ?
Look at the word, dwell. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, yesterday, today, and forever. It is there in Christ, all fullness, all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all mercy, all holiness. It is in Christ, past, present, and future, in all of time. It's always been in Christ. Our divine surety. Our divine Redeemer. Abraham found it there. Christ said, He saw my day and He rejoiced. Moses found it there. And Moses wrote of me. Isaiah found it there. He talked about him growing up as a root out of dry ground, being wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. H-E-A-L-E-D. Healed completely, totally, fully. Isaiah found all fullness in Christ. And Job found it there, for he said, I found a ransom. I found it. I've searched through all of man's wisdom and man's philosophy, and I've found nothing but vanity. I've searched through all of man's religion, and I've found nothing but emptiness. I've searched through all of life in its infancy and in its youth and in its maturity and in its old age, and I don't find anything but vanity. But I've found a ransom, and that ransom is Christ. It's not the church, it's not a denomination, it's not all the ecclesiastical powers of the past, it's not the writings of the Puritans, it is not the writings of the martyrs, it's not any of these things, it's not in the law, it's not in the sacraments, it's not in the ordinances, it's not in the doctrines, it's in Christ. I have found a ransom, a sufficient ransom, an effectual ransom, a complete ransom, a full ransom. I found it in Christ. The answer to every question, the solution for every problem, the comfort for every trial, the friend for every need. I found a ransom. And thank God, because all fullness dwells in Him, and I dwell in Him, then in the sight of God, I have all fullness. Our Father, take this message and magnify and exalt Him who is worthy. Let these eyes, not these natural eyes, but these eyes of faith which Thou hast given to us by Thy grace, let them see in Christ all wisdom, all righteousness, all sanctification, all redemption. All I need, in this life, in the life to come, in youth, in old age, in sickness, in health, in poverty, in wealth, in all my days, He's all I need. And let me see the frailty of the flesh, the failure of the flesh, the foolishness of the flesh, and see in Christ all fullness, the vanity of the flesh, that I might give Him the glory of which He's worthy, bow at His feet, taking no glory to myself, for He will not share His glory, that I might be able with the redeemed in glory to sing unto Him who loved me, and wash me from my sins in His own precious blood. To Him be the glory. In the name of our Lord we pray. Amen.